You're not the boss of me now. After a little technical difficulty, I could finally do that.
I want to like do an audio montage of all of our like us trying to start the episode. It's just a bunch of fails.
I wish I saved a lot of those. I really just delete them because I'm ashamed.
Why would you delete them?
Why would I delete any of our content? I should save it together for a horrible clip down to never want to see ever again.
We're just reminding people what they love about us. You know, it's our genuine, just our raw...
Raw what?
Unprofessionalism.
Well, welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Insomniacs, to another episode of It's 2 a.m.
Hi, guys.
We're doing part two of Remember Those Thousand Shows.
Woo!
Because we sure like to talk about them. I mean, this is very on brand for us because, like, honestly, I feel like we have a lot of these conversations either late night or around sometime, like, 2 a.m.
It's true. I feel like we'll just text each other and be like, hey, remember this?
Usually I'll send you a picture. I'll be like, hey, remember this? And then I'll find an actual still from the show. So it goes beyond, hey, remember this? It's like, hey, remember this? Hey, remember this? Hey,
oh, God.
Hey, remember that time we were in your dorm room at 4 a.m. laughing about XXXTolic?
I mean, if you haven't seen the XXXTolic anime, please watch it just for the body proportions.
Oh, they're so good. My favorite part is that someone drew them and they were like, yeah.
They were like, absolutely. No, you know what's funny?
Not is just like, them, a whole team said yes.
I feel like with the manga, a lot of like Clamp style is very like unique, and like everybody has like really like everybody's bodies are very elongated, like everyone is very tall, and it's like everything's just a little bit exaggerated, but it's like part of the style.
Yeah.
And so like trying to translate that to anime just like, doesn't work.
Yeah, they went overboard.
Oh, God.
And then we're like, whoops. But anyway, this isn't about thousands anime. This is just about thousand shows. For that, you'll have to tune in for another episode where it quickly devolves into just an episode about Digimon.
I was literally about to say. I mean, we still have not done a Digimon episode, so...
That's true. Well, we were going to watch the Digimon Try, like, all of it at some point, I feel like. But we...
Yeah.
Well, we watched, like, the first four episodes of it, but they were...
We did.
They were releasing it at a weird schedule, so I can keep up with that shit.
Yeah. I want to talk about the OG, so...
I mean, that's perfectly fine.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could actually divide it up into about four episodes, because I've only seen the first four. Series.
I'm sorry, I just love how we constantly discuss what we're going to do in future episodes.
Now that should be a montage. It's a montage of us talking about what we're going to do.
Just coming up with ideas for future episodes.
We got to get the people hype. You can never start promotion too early.
Ugh, true.
If Luna has taught me anything, you can never start promotion too early.
Oh, God, okay.
So, Malcolm in the Middle, who single-handedly probably had one of the best theme songs from my childhood.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
I mean, we all remember that little anime guy from the opening.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what anime that is?
Someone from Reddit has, like, zeroed in on it, but I can't remember what it is.
Like, I feel like it was,
like, they literally said what it, like, I looked it up once and they said who it was, but I'm like, I don't remember.
Oh. I always felt like it was from, like, Gundam or something, really, like, something really classic.
You'd think.
Yeah.
Do you know what's really funny? If you type in anime guy from, it immediately autofills to Malcolm in the Middle.
Really? Oh my god.
It's from Shiogami? I don't know what that is. I really don't, honestly.
Whomst?
Whomst is that?
Whomst are you? Malcolm in the Middle is very funny to watch now. It's because of Bryan Cranston.
Because he's full on become like an actual regular actor.
Yeah.
We definitely thought he was going to fade into obscurity after that show was over.
I mean, out of anyone on that show, would you have picked Bryan Cranston as like
the breakout star? No.
The star, yeah. I wish we saw the mom and more stuff today.
Yeah, I've seen her in a couple things, but I don't know what I've seen her in.
Yeah, no, she's definitely been in stuff.
I feel like she has, like, gray, does she have gray hair now, or is it blonde? It's something random. I have no idea. It's something really random.
I get her and Katie Sagal confused a little bit, though.
But, you know, that's 100% fair.
Similar vibes. Yeah. No, it's just really funny whenever there's like a screen cap from like Malcolm in the Middle and someone's like, oh, I don't remember this part of Breaking Bad. And it's like Bryan Cranston in his underwear.
Although that does sound like something that someone who's cooking meth would do.
Yeah, that's true. There probably was a scene in Breaking Bad. I don't remember most of that show.
All I remember from Malcolm in the Middle is, like, I remember there were four sons. There was Francis, who was sent off to,
Wait. Four?
Yeah. Because there were the three. There was Dewey, Malcolm, and Reese. And then Francis was the older brother who got sent off to military school.
Oh, right. Who is Hyde from that 70s show's real life brother.
Yeah. Isn't Reese also his brother?
No.
Whose brother is Reese?
I don't know.
No, I mean, he's like, he also is like part of a family of actors. Like, hold on. I'm on the IMDb page already. I might as well just look it up. For once, look up a fact.
That would be so off-brand for us.
Wait, why did I go to IMDb? This is a Wikipedia thing.
Yeah, no, I just know that that's Danny Masterson's brother.
I like how you know his actual name.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember why. I feel like he was in the oldest brother was in maybe the first season a little bit. And he was there, and I think they sent him off to military school, like, very quickly.
Yeah, I think it's actually, like, the first episode.
And I don't know why, but he had plot lines and stuff that were just, like, fully at military school.
Yeah. That was just, I think that was, like, the first two to three seasons, because then he left military school and, like, came back for a hot minute. Well, actually, I don't remember if he actually came back. He, like, left military school, and then he ended up someplace else, like, Iceland or some dumb shit like that. It was very random.
I just think it's so funny to, like, have an actor employed as part of the main cast and then just never have him with the main cast.
Never have scenes with them. It's kind of like with Game of Thrones, where, like, some of them have never had scenes together because their characters are on different continents.
Oh, yeah. Like, some of them, like, some of those actors have, like, never met each other yeah. except for at, like, cast parties and stuff.
And the funny thing is I think some of them haven't even met at there. They're, like, I think it was, Emilia Clarke. No. It was one of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was, like, Laura Headey, or Lena Headey, my bad, who was, like, I've never met some random character because they're, like, we never have scenes together, and I never see them whenever I'm around.
That's really funny. Honestly, you forget that they, like, shoot all of those, like, so wildly away from each other.
I know, I never think about it.
That's why it takes 8 years to come out with a season.
Very true. Because they have to get all the footage together.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Reese ended up someplace random. Like, it definitely had snow. I remember that. And I think he married some, like, farmer's daughter or something random like that.
Wait, which brother are you talking about? Reese is the...
Not Reese, Francis, my bad.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was like, Reese is, like, the...
The dumb one.
The dumb one, yeah.
Because Dewey and Malcolm are smart.
Yeah, except Dewey was, like, creepy smart.
He was like, chaotic smart. Yeah, he just wanted to do whatever he wanted to do.
He was absolutely... He was kind of like the Louise... Louise Belcher of that family, except he wasn't, like, maniacal, but he was, like, that level of, like, little kid smart.
Yeah, I full on agree with that. He was probably the blueprint for Louise, if I was gonna be honest.
Yeah. No, you know who was the blueprint for Louise is Miranda Cosgrove on Drake and Josh.
And Dewey was the blueprint for her.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, I want a female version of that little kid from Malcolm in the Middle, but I also want her to be like. Really, I don't know. She's like a full-on sociopath.
She was honestly a sociopath.
But we love it. We love a good we love a good child sociopath.
Oh, Megan.
Interesting.
I literally think about that all the time.
There isn't a day that goes by where that doesn't apply to something in my life.
I was, like, snooping on some app the other day. I think it was Venmo. Venmo is the creepiest app to snoop on people on. I'm like, if you set your shit to public on Venmo, you are telling the world your business.
It's true.
But yeah, I, like, came across something and then I, like, thought of that immediately. I was like, interesting.
This person is buying this.
This person is sending this money to this person for this reason. Interesting.
I think everyone's gotten hip and they all just use, like, emojis now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I always use, but I always use, like, really random emojis, so you can never know what the hell I'm using it for. It'll be like... It'll be like, comment, carnival thing, merry-go-round, volcano. You're like, what?
I either do that or I just put it on private. I'm like, no one needs to know who I'm paying for what reason.
I'm just paying someone for hair extensions. Don't mind me. Where's that emoji? Where's the hair extensions emoji?
Hair extensions emoji.
This is black erasure, Apple.
As we all know, if you want to get new emojis approved, you have to contact the spirit of Steve Jobs.
Who currently resides at the emoticon headquarters or something.
Steve Jobs?
Yes.
He's dead?
Yes, he is.
Okay, moving on.
Just laughs for 5 minutes.
Moving on. Remember when Ashton Kutcher played him?
Speaking of dead things. Let's talk about some of these dead shows.
Oh, that's so funny for no reason.
It really is.
No, you know what character was hilarious on Malcolm in the Middle was the friend who was the black kid with asthma
Stevie?
In a wheelchair.
Fucking Stevie, who literally had to like take a huge breath between every word.
Yeah. Oh, that was so good. I was like,
to tell you something.
I was like, who thought of this character?
Do you think he just, like, came... Do you think that the actor actually just showed up and, like, did that, and they were like, this is it?
He just, like, had asthma in real life.
You took a risk, kid, and you know what? It paid off. You've got the job.
You've got the job. He's like, thanks, I just have asthma.
Or even worse, he was actually just mimicking someone he knew. Because he's actually a bully in real life.
Oh God!
Plot twist. I love fake lore.
Just makes up rumors about the Malcolm in the Middle cast.
Why stop there? Let's do it with everybody.
I just imagine the script for all his lines was like, it was just like word ellipses 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 word ellipses 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 word ellipses ellipses. Oh God.
They're like, don't mind me. It's another one of those instances where you know the writer was definitely cackling at their computer. Or back then it might have been a typewriter, I don't know. Maybe they wanted to feel authentic.
They had computers in the 2000s.
I know, but I mean, like, they maybe wanted to feel, they probably had one of those big fat ass apples. Like the ones where it looked like, I think it was just like a monitor, and it was basically all in that big old fat monitor.
Yeah, and it was different colors.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved those.
When the Apple logo used to be like a whole bunch of different colors?
Yeah.
You remember when it used to be a gay apple?
It was Macintosh.
Why'd they ditch that?
Because
they could have gotten the gays.
Yeah, because they hate gay people. What gay person do you know doesn't have an iPhone, Chad?
I mean, it's true.
You've got the gays, all right.
And we make fun of anyone with an Android.
It's true.
I do it to my mom all the time. I'm like, you're a piece of shit, Android phone.
Honestly, no, my roommate and I were talking about how moms have Androids. I was like, yeah, all moms have Androids. And she was like, oh my God, it's true. My mom is an Android. I'm like, yeah.
I think the only exception would be my neighbors. Because they both have iPhones.
Their parents.
Yeah, their parents.
It's a very specific type of parent that has an iPhone.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, they're white.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, that's fair. yeah. No, I feel like Androids are for, like, moms and, like, straight dudes who are like, oh, it's superior tech, oh. It's like, all right, your phone camera is fucking shit, though.
Yeah, but what are Blackberries for?
Blackberries?
They're just for our one friend who was obsessed with Blackberry.
I thought he got rid of it, finally.
He did, but every time I talk to him, I swear he's always just like, I'm thinking about getting another Blackberry. I'm like, stop it!
Blackberry as a company should be, like, bankrupt. Like, I don't know how they're still making things.
I think it's just literally overseas, like in Asian countries.
Okay.
I think that may be like a huge market for them or something. I don't know.
All right, well, good for them.
Good for them making some money.
Anyway.
Anyway. Back to these shows.
So, were you saying this off off camera? Were you saying this before we started recording that you were watching that Netflix thing and they were talking about Malcolm in the Middle?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I think it was like CNN did like a special about the 2000s. They also have one about the 90s that I haven't gotten around to watching. At some point, I'm going to have to watch these. I'm just so busy these days. I say as I also admitted that I watched literally an entire series last Sunday. So really, am I busy? Do you know what's funny is I feel like the foil to Malcolm in the Middle was Everybody Hates Chris. Even though it came out years later, it was kind of like...
How was it the foil?
Well, I don't know. Actually, I'm not going to say foil. I'll say,
Oh, a companion.
Yeah, I was going to say sister series, but...
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Because they were both about, like, a middle child. No, wait. I think he was the old... Like, Chris was the older child. One in that one. Yeah.
I didn't really watch that one, so.
It was funny.
I just remember that I really liked the, they really nailed the, like, aesthetics of it. Of the time period.
Yeah, because I think it was supposed to be, like, the 70s or something.
Yeah, it was, like, the late 70s, 80s.
Yeah. But, yeah, I really... I just liked the theme song of that because it was literally just Everybody Hates Chris! Which was true because it was, I mean, that's why I'm saying it was kind of like Malcolm in the Middle because on that show, he kind of like always got the like shit end of the stick like Malcolm always did on Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were completely different in the sense that Malcolm was about a middle-class white family, and Everybody Hates Chris is, like, I don't know, like, lower-middle-class black family.
Yeah, they were... Well, he also... It was also, like... Wasn't, like... Was it Brooklyn? Where was it that the...
I want to say it takes place in New York.
Yeah, New York somewhere.
Yeah, so it was also about, like, growing up in the inner city and stuff like that. And he had...
Yeah.
And... Like how Malcolm in the Middle, he had the one black friend. On Everybody Hates Chris, he had the one white friend.
One white friend, yeah. That's my favorite trope, is the one white friend.
I love a good role reversal.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like you're right. Like, even though there was, like, a bit of a class difference, I feel like both those shows really portrayed, like, the struggle. Like, I feel like there was a lot on Malcolm in the Middle about how poor they were, or how, like...
Yeah.
You know, because, like, his parents, like... neither of them had, like, amazing jobs. Like, neither of them were, like, doctor or lawyer or, like, whatever, like...
Yeah, Lois worked at a supermarket.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what Hal did. I think he just had, like, a middle management job or something like that.
Yeah, he worked in an office.
Yeah. Actually, he wasn't even, like, a manager. He was just, like, a worker.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even getting paid all that well.
Yeah.
And they had, like, four kids, and one of them was troubled, so they sent him to military school, which was expensive.
Sent him to middle school.
Imagine that. My child is unruly. I'm just gonna send them to permanent middle school.
Oh, God. Terrifying.
That'll straighten them out. They actually just get bullied by middle school girls all day.
Or worse, middle school boys.
Dun, dun, dun. What else is on your list?
What?
So I was saying, what else is on your list?
On my list, I have 8 Simple Rules. On my list. I don't know if you remember that one.
I do, but what's really funny about this is I'm realizing we watched a lot of Fox.
Was that on Fox?
I want to say it was.
I get 8 Simple Rules and Grounded for Life confused all the time.
They're very similar.
They had a really similar, like, family, but I'm pretty sure that... Well, they were both multicam, like live audience, right?
Yeah.
And 8 Simple Rules, Which one was David Spade on?
Eat Simple Rules.
Okay, yeah, that was the one where the dad died and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just randomly dies.
Well, he died in real life.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. My bad.
That's why it was, like, such a big deal. Because it was, like, he, like, actually died.
Yeah, see, I was remembering it wrong. I thought it was, like, that, I thought it was, like, a Roseanne situation.
No. Oh, speaking of that, can we talk about Luke Perry for, like, 4 seconds?
Oh, I know. I'm so sad about this.
I was like, what the fuck? Also, my mom is, like, so upset.
He was, like, the best part of Riverdale.
I know. He was hot dad. Who are we supposed to... Like, who's supposed to be the hot dad now? Like, Hiram? Because I don't think so.
I think it's Skeet Ulrich now.
Okay, again, no thank you.
He's got to carry the whole show on his back.
Aw.
He's going to have to become the moral compass dad now.
Oh, wouldn't that be a twist?
It really would. Plot twist! I just don't know what those Riverdale writers are going to do now, because I'm like, they're going to have to find a way to write him out. And then, as soon as they do, Archie's gonna have to go, like, fucking crazy.
Yeah. I wonder if they're gonna say that he died.
They can't, like, I forget who I was talking to about this. Maybe it was, yeah. Anyway, I was talking to someone about it, and I was just like, they can't replace his character. Like, they just can't. Like, they can't recast him.
Oh, yeah, no.
I guess maybe they'll just bring Molly Ringwald in.
Maybe. What else is she doing?
Nothing. Well, Molly Ringwald, you're up to bat now. Welcome to Riverdale Season 4.
Ugh. So sad. Anyway. Enough about that. Eight Simple Rules was, like, one of the... Wait, was Katie Sagal in that one? I feel like she was.
She might have been.
Right? Wasn't she the mom?
I don't know who was the mom on that show. So the thing is... The thing is I remember that she was on that show.
Yep.
I think that's she was the mom. Also, Kaylee Cuoco.
Oh my god, that's right. That's where she came from.
Eight Simple Rules. It really...
That's where she came from, is what I just said.
Eight Simple Rules really ruined our goddamn lives. They should have never brought her out of wherever she came from.
They would have just gotten another hot blonde actress for Big Bang Theory, so it's not really her fault. Let's not blame Kaylee Cuoco.
Well, I blame her for literally ruining the last season of Charmed.
Oh, yeah, sure. Because people have seen that.
What, the last season of Charmed?
Yes.
Hey, there are some people out there who've seen it.
You and, like, 20 other people.
Yeah, me and the 20 other people I've forced to watch it.
I always forget that, and you always talk about that.
What, that she was on there?
I always forget.
It's... The only reason why I give a shit is because literally she ruined the last season. Like, her character came along and was, like, just... It had the worst fucking arc because it was so rushed and last minute, basically. And... I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
It's not her fault.
It's not her fault. You know what is her fault? Big Bang Theory.
I can't believe she created and produced Big Bang Theory.
At least that's going away now.
Oh, yes, the evil has been defeated.
Holds up a frog. So I never watched... I don't actually remember watching Eight Simple Rules. Whose original title was Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter.
Yeah, that was the full title of it. I don't remember why I liked it so much. I feel like it was Katie Sagal. And you know what? Katie Sagal and David Spade had a really good, like, dynamic on that show. Like, they were really funny together. I remember that.
Oh, it was John Ritter. He was the dad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I loved him. He was in a lot of random things I've watched.
Chad is, like, just realizing John Ritter died.
Hey, this is, like, that time where I was just like, hey, whatever happened to Mr. Rogers? And I had found out he had been dead for, like, 13 years.
He is one of those people that you, like, wouldn't expect. God.
Hey, life comes at you fast. And then sometimes it comes at you 13 years later.
Oh, man. I'm getting so sad about Luke Perry again.
Okay, so what was this... Like, what particularly was good about this show other than the fact
nothing.
That... Okay, nothing.
It was not good. I just watched a lot of it.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, Grounded for Life was kind of similar in that respect. They were about similar families.
Yeah, it was like, okay, Grounded for Life is coming back to me now. Like, there was like a blonde daughter, and it definitely, both of them were definitely like very daughter-centric and about like, I don't know, these like teenage females just like being like, I'm a teenager now and I'm gonna like do this.
Yep.
And the parents, like, having to deal with that.
They're having to deal with the unruliness of a teenage daughter.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, hell is a teenage girl.
Absolutely. I feel like, oh god, I feel like there were just several executives who walked into pitch meetings and were like, hell is a teenage daughter. And everyone was like, ah, yeah.
They're like, have you ever raised a teenage girl?
And they just greenlit their show.
Yes, I have 7 daughters. I know exactly what you mean.
I have 7 daughters. Somebody told me today that in Utah, the average family has 8 kids.
What a traumatizing thought.
And I was like, oh, guess where I'll never be going.
Which is funny because both of us are only children, so it's just like, imagine having 7 siblings.
Oh my god, I would die.
To just fade up, to literally fade into obscurity within your own family.
Oh god, that I can't imagine.
Yeah, but Grounded for Life, really, the thing is I remember that show only because the dynamic that they had on that show that was, like, a little different from, like, 8 Simple Rules is they had, like, these kind of cutaways which were supposed to be, like, the inside of their head, and it was just, like, them in a blank white room, and they would be, like, talking to the camera and breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. Remember in the mid-2000s when TV was, like, really experimental?
I miss it.
We
need more risks in our network television.
Now all television is trying to be, like, indie cinema. Like, okay, get over your fucking self.
Yeah, it's either trying to be, like, indie cinema or literally reboot an old show to try and get those old ratings.
Yeah.
To which I've literally come to the end of my rope with the Will and Grace reboot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like after this past episode, I was just like, this show isn't what it used to be.
You've had enough.
Yeah, like, it was kind of, like, it was fun for a hot minute, but, like, literally the whole nostalgia has completely worn off at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not into it. You know, good old fart not into it.
Fart not into it. Yeah, we have to do a full episode on Will and Grace, because we talk about it, like, a lot.
It's true. And for us to have seen it all the way through as many times as we have.
Yeah. Both of us have seen it multiple times all the way through.
Yeah. Actually, I have to finish my current rewatch. I'm in the middle, like, I'm towards the end of season 4. But
that's
I've,
a good one.
But I haven't, like, finished because I'm, like, I'm at the point where, like, Leo comes in and I'm, like, because I don't really care for Leo all that much.
Really? That's really funny.
Like, I like him sometimes, but I don't at the same time. I like Leo when he gets, like, a haircut, and then I'm like, it reminds me of how, like, attractive Eric McCormick is. But then I'm just like, no, I just like Eric McCormick. Not Eric McCormick. The other dude.
Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, there we go.
Amazing.
Harry Connick Jr. But anyway.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking of when Sex and the City first started, and, like, the characters would, like, talk to the camera.
Literally just the first season.
Yeah, it's like, and it's, they abandon it so quickly in the first season, like, even in the first season. Like, Carrie talks to the camera a little bit, and then you have these, like, in-betweens where, like, because, you know, her whole thing is she has, like, an advice column or whatever, a sex column. And so you have these little, like, in-betweens where these, like, random characters off the street are, like, oh, I called him, and he didn't call me back.
Or that one infamous quote where she's like, or that one girl's just like, I like museums, falafel, blowjobs, or something like, or something to that magnitude. No? Okay. Am I the only one who remembers that? Just dramatically pauses. Yeah. Well, what else do you got?
All the stuff on my list is Just Shoot Me.
Just Shoot Me?
Yes, and Spin City.
So, I barely remember Spin City. I remember watching it, but I don't remember a lot.
Yeah. Spin City was by the same guy who did Scrubs.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so actually a lot of the same, like, not a lot of the same actors, but, like, you'll see people pop up in Scrubs who were, like, regulars on Spin City.
Was the main doctor on Spin City, like, the older dude from Scrubs?
No, it wasn't about doctors.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying the guy.
Oh. Wait,
the older actor who plays, like, the, I think he's, like, the chief?
No, I don't think, no, he wasn't in Spin City. Spin City was, Charlie Sheen. What's her name? That really hot, really hot lady. Heather...
Locklear,
thank you. And some other people you'd probably recognize from... Oh, you know what? Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, I literally just looked it up and said Michael J. Fox. I'm like, oh. Oh, and Richard Kind.
Yeah.
I've met him before.
Yes. Remember, I was like, oh, that guy. And you were like, oh, I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is. He's been in a lot of things that I've watched, but I, like, it's weird because I never remember, I don't remember, like, a lot of random actors' names. I'm pseudo good with names, I'm better with faces.
Yeah. Well, I think we've proved we're really bad with names.
Yeah. That's what this whole podcast is about.
We should just rename it Bad With Names.
No, I'm gonna just put it in the official description. I'm just going to delete everything else and just put, we're bad at names.
Bad at names. But yeah, he has a bit part on Scrubs, and Michael J. Fox has an episode on Scrubs. Heather Locklear appears on Scrubs. Like, there's, like, all these people from Spin City that pop up.
I totally forgot about that.
Plus Charlie Sheen.
Bonus Charlie Sheen.
I just remember him and Heather Locklear, like, constantly having a love story, and it was just gross.
Hey, they've got to force that heterosexual propaganda somewhere.
It was just like he was like so like his character was so gross towards her, and like it was bad.
Well, he's also gross in real life.
In real life, yeah, I agree.
But I loved Just Shoot Me. I watched more of that than Spin City.
Yeah. That was a classic.
It was a good example of a workplace sitcom that had a very good, one had a very good ensemble cast, mm-hmm. two had a good dynamic, and three had a good premise because they worked at a magazine.
Yeah. Wasn't, what's her name who was in it? The older actress who was on Hot in Cleveland.
She's also on American Housewife. She plays the mom of the main character. It's very funny because that her mom character is she used to be a stewardess, and she's just like, I've always been hot. And she always talks about her like sexual exploits, and I'm like, if this is not her Just Shoot Me character, just older.
I honestly feel like she's always just played that character.
Wendy Malick,
yes. She's so good.
I loved Nina Van Horn.
So good.
Didn't she start sleeping with, like, the bald dude at some point?
I feel like maybe there was an episode where they slept together. Or maybe you're right. Maybe there was, like, a story arc where they were, like, sleeping together. But I mostly remember him and the brunette girl. That was, like, the main love story. That was the main, like,
yeah.
Will they, won't they?
Maya. Because he was, like,
Rachel.
He was, like, the resident photographer. Who, like, their in-house photographer. And then she was the,
yes.
boss's daughter, but she also worked there, and she wrote, like, serious news articles because she wanted to change the world. She was a new wave feminist before that.
before, she was great.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great show that had really great characters on it.
Yeah.
Like, David Spade being the... was he a secretary? I didn't even know what he was, exactly.
Yeah, he was, I think he was the boss's assistant. Like, he was the main assistant to, I forgot it was this guy. I'm, like, remembering, like, everything.
I'm remembering. That B12 is finally kicking in.
Yeah, Rebecca Romaine was also on this show.
Oh, that is true.
For, like, a minute.
This was, well, I won't say that this was the blueprint for Ugly Betty because, you know, the telenovela Ugly Betty was the blueprint for that. But I definitely feel like it contributed a bit to the quirkiness.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Very, like, almost like fish out of water.
Oh my god, Tom Kenny was on there.
Yeah, I just saw that. I was scrolling through them.
Wow.
So funny.
Tom Kenny has had quite the life.
He sure has. Let's get him for this podcast.
Do you think he would do it?
Yeah, I think so.
Just reaches out and is like, hey, what's up?
I think he's pretty chill.
I've got a question.
You know who I would want to interview is the guy who did, what's his name? Richard Horvath, who did Invader Zim, the voice.
Oh, I don't know what his face looks like though.
He also did Billy.
Of all people, when you find people who overlap like that, it's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like in the world of mid-2000s animation, there was, like, a lot of crossover.
Yeah. I mean, I also watched a lot of, like, tween shows way back then. Like, I was really into shows that were on, like, the live-action shows that were on, like, Nickelodeon and, like, The Inn, because The Inn was really taking off back then. I mean, that's where Degrassi was on. So, yeah. You know, I tuned in for Degrassi and then just kept watching stuff.
Yeah, no, I remember we were talking about this when we were compiling our lists, but I didn't really, I don't know why, but I did not really watch a lot of these ones.
I mean, they had some really great ones. Like, Nick had, like, The Journey of Alan Strange, which was about, like, this alien that came to Earth, and he was, like, his alien form was this black guy. Which was funny because he got taken in by this white family, and it's just like, of course. It was basically The Blind Side.
But with aliens.
Both with actual aliens. And then they also had the show, like, 100 Deeds of Eddie McDowd, which was about, like, this kid who was, like, horrible, and I think, like, a gypsy or something cursed him and to be a dog. So he was, like, a dog who had to do 100 good deeds so that he could become a boy again.
That sounds like a DCOM.
It does. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if whoever wrote it, like, was gonna try to pitch it to Disney. They were like, I don't want this. And he was just like, fine, and went to Nickelodeon, and they made it into a show.
A full show.
I mean, it lasted for, like, 2 seasons.
Well, there you go. So did he do the 100 deeds?
I don't think he ever got the 100 deeds.
Oh, that's so sad.
So he's probably still a dog. And also dead.
Dog forever. That's so sad.
That's a good question. Would he be an immortal dog who has to do the deeds until he can break the curse? Or does he live out his life as a dog and then die?
Oh, that's a great question. We should follow up with the creator of that.
I'm just going to go hop on the old Twitter.
We just find the creator on Twitter and ask them that.
I've got a question for you, sir.
Like, 15 to 20 years later.
Hey, so there are definitely some people out there who have a burning desire to know what happened.
Well, now there are, because we've posed the question.
I mean, this was also back when, like, Nickelodeon was doing their whole... I won't say they were doing their diversity outreach or anything, but they were definitely trying to create a lot more, like, diverse shows. Because, like, even their cartoons were, like, diverse. Mm-hmm. But they had, like, The Brothers Garcia, which was on for, like, 4 years. It was on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that show. Even though I'm not Hispanic and I couldn't relate 100%. But, you know... I related because they were all kids and they were trying to figure out how to, like, literally do whatever. Just be kids, yeah. I mean, I guess I related on a whole minority standpoint.
True.
But it was a fun show about a family, and because you know, back then everyone had, like, 2.5 kids, mm-hmm. as they call it. It was like 2 kids and, like, a small one.
A small one.
Who was always, like, you never knew how old they were exactly until they, at one point, decided, hey, I guess we'll pinpoint their age. They're, like, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because they decided, like, oh, we want to eat, I don't know. They would just figure out some way to work that in, like, finagle it. And there was that, and there was Tyena, which was another show. That was about a girl who wanted to be, I think she was in high school. And she wanted to be, like, a singer. Because that was, like, a part of the actual theme song. She was just like, I'm gonna be a... Like, I can't wait to see my name in lights.
I don't remember that one at all.
It also had a banging theme song. It goes back with the whole, you know, theme of the thousands having, like, really good theme songs. And I don't know why. Maybe they just hired, like, actual... writers and stuff to do their theme songs, because, you know, at some point people just started grabbing songs instead. They're like, we'll just pay for the music rights there. But
yeah,
I don't know. Tyena had a fun theme song. The Brothers, I don't remember the theme song for Brothers Garcia, but that one at least. I do.
I remember the theme song for the George Lopez show.
Again, they just grabbed a song, because that's just Lowrider. But again, good song.
When that would come on at like 3 in the morning, and you were like, oh, it's time to go to bed now.
When, Grace, it still does.
True.
Like, every once in a while, I'll catch my mom watching it, and I'm just like, are you watching George Lopez? And she's like, I haven't seen this episode.
Oh, my God.
It's such a funny experience.
Definitely time to go to bed when George Lopez comes on.
That's the end of the night. You're like, well, I've definitely stayed up too long.
Well, I've definitely watched all there is to watch.
Did you ever watch that show, The War at Home? That one came on Fox.
No.
Rami Malek was on that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do know what you're talking about, but I never watched it. And I remember seeing, like, a clip compilation of him being gay on it. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah, one of the most disappointing things I found out recently is that he's not gay in real life, and I was like, well, that's sad.
You thought he was gay in real life?
I don't know. I'd never seen him with a woman, so I just assumed. As one does.
Gay until proven straight.
Yeah, that's the rule.
As we know.
That's the rule. If you're not aggressively heterosexual, you have to prove.
Yep. I'm just gonna assume you're gay.
Okay, let's finish this talking about Phil of the Future.
What a random choice.
Because I really... I just plucked it off my list. Because I feel like it's because I want to talk about Ricky Ullman.
Ricky Ullman and... what's her name?
Oh, Ally Machaca.
Ally Machaca. They had the best chemistry of, like... I think any teen show that had, like, a romance, they had such good actual chemistry.
It's true. I mean, you really were... That was, like, one of... It was the... I want to go out on a limb and say this. This may be a bold statement to say. But sure. They were definitely the will-they-won't-they of our childhood. The greatest will-they-won't-they of our childhood.
They were definitely up there.
Because I
definitely,
like, I remember being, and this may be one of the only times, but I'm like, I definitely remember being like, I wanted them to get together.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And normally I'm not, you know, rooting for one of them. I'm not rooting for heterosexual propaganda, but in this instance I was.
Yeah, no, they were great. I feel like they were just both really hot. And they were just, they had a good, like, the actors had a good dynamic, and they were both just really hot, and it just worked.
Yeah, that's how you pair people up, right? I'm hot, you're hot.
Yeah, that's how straight people get together. No, but, you know, I feel like the writing was actually very good on that show. Like, for it being, like, a kids/teen comedy show, like, I feel like the writing was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. Also, another sociopathic younger sister.
Yep. Pim, right? Was her name Pim?
Yeah, I loved her.
Yeah, she was great.
I truly tuned into every week to see what nonsense she was going to do.
She was great because, like, all their plot lines with, like, school were, like, Phil would be like, I just want to be normal and have friends and do homework. And she'd be like, I'm trying to be principal.
I'm literally trying to take over the school.
I'm literally trying to take over the Board of Education for no reason.
She's like, I'm bored and also really smart.
Basically.
I remember...
Was that the show where they had a caveman?
Yeah, I think they did have, like, a caveman as a pet at one point.
Yeah, he was just, he had, like, gotten lost in their time machine, and then, like, they just had him.
Yeah, because he, like, thawed out or some shit.
And wasn't it that actor who was the janitor on Ned's Declassified? I feel like it was that actor.
Oh, God, if it was, that would be too much.
I forget his name, he's so funny.
You know, like, Ricky Ullman actually goes by his actual Israeli name now.
I know, good for him. Is he gay?
I don't think so. I think he may be, on the queer spectrum, but I don't think he's gay.
Okay.
He was definitely in a paper magazine in a dress.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, you do you.
I'm waiting on him and, what's-his-face to start dating.
Who?
Who's the other one? Ezra Miller. There we go.
Who's the other one? Oh, you know who I thought you were going to say is, what's his name from Victorious?
Who? Avon Jogia?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I would support that.
Yeah, I need a fun ethnic couple to root for.
You need a fun gay brown couple to root for. Ezra Miller is too weird.
Yeah, he does seem a bit out of the box.
Like, I can't see him, like, dating a person.
Maybe when the aliens finally come, he'll date one of them, and then they'll be, like, the first interspecies couple, and then they'll start that whole thing, and they'll be like, humans and aliens shouldn't have marriage rights.
That is absolutely what's going to happen. And then everyone's going to be like, hey, Katy Perry, remember when you wrote E.T.?
She's going to want to sing it at their wedding. That'll be how she felt, like, Katy Perry's going to have to wait 20 years to revive her career.
Yep.
With that one particular moment.
She's going to be also dating an alien, like, trying to be relevant again. Everyone's going to be like, shut the fuck up, Katie.
Have you met my alien boyfriend? I'm pregnant. This is our alien baby.
I'm pregnant. Oh, I cannot wait until aliens make contact and there's just, like, a bunch of crazy headlines, like, so-and-so pregnant with alien baby.
And it looks like the fucking Insider cover. Like the National Enquirer and shit.
Oh my god. I can't wait until an alien becomes president.
And then we find out the National Enquirer was actually, like, telling us facts all this time.
True the whole time.
They just print on really shitty paper so it looks like a shitty, like, fake magazine.
Oh, it was the paper quality, of course!
Hey, in the long run, they're saving the most money.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, that should be our next episode. I just go buy a copy of National Enquirer, and we just go through it.
We talk about it. I thought our next episode was going to be, what are the teens up to?
Yes! Also, so many good ideas.
Wait, didn't you come up with that?
Yes, we have so many good ideas in this episode. I should write some of these down so I don't forget.
It's okay, because you text them to me.
Yeah, but we text a lot, so... And I never go back and read any of that shit.
I'm just saying, they're recorded somewhere.
And that's what's important. Oh, I did want to bring this up. I distinctively remember one particular episode of Phil of the Future where he was just like, oh... everyone's gonna make fun of me because I don't have a baby toe, because they're from the future, and by then they had evolved to not have baby toes.
Oh my god.
Do you not remember that episode?
Pinky toes, you mean?
Yeah. Whatever. Pinky toe, baby toe, whatever.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, it was so funny. And then he was, like, trying to make a fake one so people wouldn't know he's from the future.
Oh my god.
And then he was just like, I think it was like one part of the episode, it was towards the end where, Because, you know, something has to go awry. And, like, it flew off or something, and it was, like, flying through the air in slow motion.
Oh, my God. I don't remember that, but that's so funny. Also, I feel like I've heard that the pinky toe is, like, essential to our balance as bipeds, but okay.
Are you trying to tell me that the Phil of the future wasn't factual? Wasn't 100% fact-checked? I refuse.
I'm just saying someone didn't do their homework on that one.
Hey, it's like with Xenon, when they were just like, oh, it's this date, and it would be a Tuesday, and someone was just like, no, it wouldn't.
They're like, actually, it would be a Wednesday.
No, I think it was like something like a Thursday or a Sunday. And then it's funny because the person who looked it up, they were just like, literally all I did was go to my computer and go to the calendar and then fast forward several years.
Oh, that's great. Honestly, I love finding inconsistencies where, like, it's just obviously somebody was too lazy
to fact check it.
Which, like, honestly, is this whole podcast, so...
Can we really blame them?
Can we really get on people's case for it?
I was about to say, what are you doing with your hair right now?
I'm having a good time.
Well, I guess that kind of concludes... We can come to a conclusion with this episode. We've talked about a lot of things. And still haven't finished going through my list.
Well, that's okay. There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of good shows from the 2000s. So,
I guess we'll revisit this topic again at some point.
We should. I'm sure we'll think of more obscure shit that we're like, oh yeah, remember that?
Remember Cousin Skeeter?
Remember Stoop Kid?
Hey, Arnold.
But yeah, so next time
we'll be figuring out what the kids are up to.
Yeah, we're gonna investigate some tween trends.
Really, really,
talk
this
about them.
This whole concept was me coming up with a full-on excuse to figure out what JoJo Siwa is.
Oh, my coworker was just talking about her, and I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, yeah, she just has, like, a huge bow collection. And I was like, she's famous for having a bow collection?
Apparently she's huge.
Like, excuse me? Like, does she sing? No, she just has bows? I don't know.
No, I think she does. She does sing, because I looked her up on Spotify once. It was... quite a time. Like, honestly, I'm gonna have to, like, show it to you so I can, like, explain it. It was...
Oh, no.
Dude, like, randomly, people are obsessed with her for some reason. Like, YouTubers, like, I don't know what it is. They're obsessed with her.
Well, okay, well, we'll get into that next time.
Yes, when we delve into what are the kids up to.
What because... are the kids up to?
Because we're old.
We're so fucking old, dude.
We're so detached from that now.
And thank God.
I've always wanted to be old.
I have. It's my life's mission. All right, well.
Till next time, Insomniacs.
As always, guys, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.